The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Hilchos Shabbos, or in Siman Pei, Ketzasim Melachos or Asuris B'Shabbos, some of the Melachos, the forbidden activities, they may not be performed on Shabbos. We are up to Sif Lamed Vav. If a person was walking along and he reaches some type of body of water, a canal, a river, he's allowed to jump over it. The dalig is to stretch his legs. It's like to skip over it, stretch his legs, so that at all times he has one foot on the ground. Likpaitz is to jump with both feet are off the ground. He's allowed to do that even though normally it's forbidden to run on Shabbos or to take extra large steps on Shabbos. A person's supposed to walk in a more sedate manner on Shabbos. Still, in this case, since there's no other way to go, it's better than to go over than to go through, as we'll discuss. So you don't want to get into the water. So therefore, you could jump over it. And the Kitzur tells us, afilu hurach, even if it's wide and it's a far jump, still it's okay. Well, mutar shiyadalig, and it's preferable, it's better that you should jump over it, mimashi yakif, rather than go around it. Meaning, even if there is a way around, you could walk out of your way in order to not have to jump. You could walk all around until the water is finished or until there's a bridge or something. Still, it's better to jump over rather than to walk significantly out of your way. If Nishan Ma'ar B'Hilam, because you increase the amount of walking after, that's also not the honor of Shabbos, that a person should walk too much unnecessarily. And therefore, it's preferable for the honor of Shabbos to jump over rather than to do unnecessary walking. But also, however, you're not allowed to walk through the water and get yourself and your clothing wet. You shouldn't come to squeeze out your garments, as we discussed in the previous Sifin, that squeezing out your garments, schita, is the malacha, the part of the malacha of cleansing, of mechabes, of libun, really, of cleansing. That's part of the cleansing activity, that you wring out the clothing from the water that you washed it in. And therefore, you're not allowed to get your clothes wet on purpose, even though we mentioned in the previous Sifim that if your clothes got wet, you're allowed to keep walking in there. However, to on purpose get them wet by walking through in the water when you didn't have to, that is forbidden. And not only you're not allowed to directly walk through the water, even to walk in a different place, I mean, not in the water directly, but in the place where you're able to slip from the people of Miami to fall into the water. It's a slippery place. You know, the banks of the river are very muddy, they're slippery. And if you walk there, there's a good chance that you may slip into the water and get your clothing all wet. Also, when you're not allowed to walk there on Shabbos, maybe your clothing will become soaked in the water. And you will come to squeeze them out, which we said is a prohibition, a Torah prohibition. And therefore, we have to be careful not to come to such a thing. If a person was traveling to do some type of mitzvah activity, Kagan, for example, a hakpil p'ne'aviv, to greet his father who's coming, a rabbi, or to greet his rabbi, or his father's not coming, he's going to his father's house to greet him, or he's going to greet his rabbi, or misha godly men of the chachma, even if he's not directly your rabbi, you never studied under this person, under this great Talmud Chacham. However, the person is a greater Talmud Chacham than you are, and you're going to greet him. So those are considered a mitzvah, as opposed to if they're colleagues, or certainly if the other person's a student of yours, then you're not allowed to go through water in order to greet him, because it's not considered a mitzvah to go greet somebody who is not greater than you. It's a nice thing to do, but it doesn't qualify as a mitzvah in this context. However, the Mishnah points out, if you think that person knows something in Torah that you do not know and you would like to find out, you can answer a question that you have, then it's a mitzvah for you to find out that piece of information. And even though that person you're going to ask, maybe even your student, he would be permitted to walk through water in order to do so. So, again, the basic gist of what we're saying here is that if you're going to do some type of mitzvah, some type of positive good deed, or to greet somebody that you're, there's a mitzvah to greet, then you're allowed to pass through the river, actually walk in the water. Provided that you do it in unusual, you do something unusual, do something in an unusual manner to remind you not to squeeze out your clothes. For example, you don't remove your hands from under the edge, the hem of your outer garment. See, normally your hands wouldn't be stuck under the hem of your garment. In this case, you do it to show, to remind you that you're doing something unusual here. Make sure I don't want to remember. I'm not allowed to squeeze out the garment afterwards. Kadesh Yitzchak said, you will remember. You will not come to squeeze out the garment. We also have another halacha, separate issue. You're not allowed to walk through the water with a sandal. Since you're not able to tighten it and tie it well on your foot, we're worried maybe the sandal will fall off. But soon you'll come to pick it up and carry it. We're talking about a situation where there's no eruv, where you're not allowed to carry. And we're talking about a type of sandal which is not tight against the foot. Our modern-day sandals, most of them have straps, and they don't fall off so easily. This is more like a slipper or a flip-flop or something along those lines, in which there's nothing keeping it, nothing holding it on your foot. It could fall off, and therefore it's possible that with the pressure of the water, the sandal will fall off, and instead of putting it back on your foot, you'll just pick it up and you'll carry it, which would be the prohibition against carrying things in the Mishnah Sarabim, or at least in the Karmelis, in the place you're not allowed to carry, as will be discussed later on in the Kitzur. And therefore, you're not allowed to walk with a sandal. Alvin Minolid, with your shoe, mutter, because it's permitted because a shoe is tightly tied onto your foot, it doesn't fall so easily. And therefore, they're not worried about it. And again, the same would apply to a modern-day sandal, which is strapped well around your foot and doesn't fall off, just like a shoe does not fall off. The Kamish of Halach with Var Mitzvah, and since you traveled through the water in order to perform a mitzvah, Mutzim, I ask Lachzah, it's permitted to even come back, because the Talmud teaches us that we want to give you an incentive, we don't want to give you a disincentive not to go perform the mitzvah, and if you know that you'll be stuck on the other side for the duration of Shabbos, you may be inclined to just ignore the mitzvah and not perform it. Therefore, the Talmud teaches us that the rabbis permitted you to go back and return to your house, return to your original place, in order that you will not prevent yourself, in order that you will not hold yourself back from going in the first place. Continues the Kitzur, the Hailech Lishma Peraisa, if you're traveling through the water to guard your fruit or your money, anything that you have on the other side of the river, that you feel you need to guard it. The Shmiras and Raina have a Ganking Tas Mitzvah, and it's permitted because guarding your money is also a little bit of a mitzvah to take care of a person's possessions. That's also considered a positive thing. And therefore, it's permitted to go through the water on the way to guard your fruits, to guard your money. So, Mutter, my Ma'avar, Behamlicha, you're allowed to go through the water on the way there. Avalei Bechazar, but not on the way back. And that's because the rabbis didn't feel there was a need to give you an incentive to go watch your money. If you don't want to watch your money, fine. So don't watch your money, it doesn't bother us. And additionally, we're not so worried that if we don't let you come back, you're not going to go in the first place. A person's careful about his money, and you probably will go, even if he knows he can't come back. And therefore, there's no reason to give him this dispensation to allow him to return going through the water, being that there is this possibility. He may come to squeeze out his garments, so we say just stay on the other side until after Shabbos, and then come back. Sif Lamed Ches. Tit She'al Begot Bigdai. If you have mud on your garment, if the mud is moist, Megaroi B'tzipurin, you scrape it off with your fingernail, like a sacker or with a knife, I mean the surface mud, but you can't cleanse it with any water, as we discussed before. Even to pour water on it is forbidden. However, just to take off the surface mud is no problem, and you could do that with however you like to do it. But if the mud is already dried, and if you scrape it off, it's going to crumble into little tiny pieces. And also, in regard, it's forbidden to scrape it off, because it is similar to the malacha of grinding, and even though here it's not exactly grinding, it wasn't one solid piece originally. It wasn't really one solid piece, but it's really a lot of little pieces of dirt all combined together, but still it's a little bit like grinding. And it's forbidden to grind up that mud, and therefore you may not scrape it off with your finger because you're going to cause the mud to break into tiny little pieces. Siflamites. Beged shochar, a black garment. Also an arim in hashelag in her avak. You're not allowed to shake it out from snow or from dust that's embedded in the garment. Avalohasim mi'alav anutzais biyave, but to remove feathers from the garment with your hand, mutter, because they're not embedded in the garment, and therefore it's not a problem. Yesh chayshin gam bezais, there are those who are nervous or care. They say it's forbidden even to do this, and one should be careful not to take off feathers. The Mishnah Berurah comes out that it's permissible. He paskins, he rules like the matir, like those who permit it. Now the issue over here is as follows. And Talmud teaches us that if you have a black garment, which you're makpid of, which means that you're particular about this garment, and when it gets dusty, you wouldn't wear it unless you remove the dust, and it's new, then you're not allowed to shake it out, because shaking it out, you cause it to become cleaner, and the cleanliness is much more recognizable and visible and effective in a dark, newish garment. And therefore, it's considered like the cleaning, and it's subsumed, at least on the rabbinic level, under the malacha of melabin, of cleansing. And if we're not allowed to shake it out. However, the Talmud teaches us that if it's not new, or it's not a new garment, or alternatively, if you're not so makbid about it, you don't mind, you would wear it even if it's dusty. So then we don't consider shaking out the dust, or shaking out the water, the snow, we don't consider that cleaning it. And therefore, it's permitted. The Kitzur, however, he says a flat prohibition across the board, all black garments, and that's based upon earlier sources who say that since it's not so clear what's called a new garment, what's called an old garment, so you just make it easy and say no black garments are allowed to be shaken out. It's not so clear for Mr. Brewer if he feels you have to be strict about this matter. That's what the Kitzur paskens, that any black garments, you should not shake it out. And the difference between the dust and the snow, as opposed to the feathers, is that one gets embedded and one is not embedded. And as we mentioned, the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah is that one could be lenient and take off the feathers, even though the Kitzur brings the opinion of those who are strict about it. One does not have to be strict on this matter. Sifmem. Tichel ragle yaminolif. If you have mud on the bottom of your foot or on your shoe, yachal asira, you're allowed to remove it bidavar shemutal atanfla, using an item which is permitted to be moved. You can't take a mukta item, so there's a stone which may not be moved, just a stone off the street, and scrape off the mud, because that stone is mukta, it's not allowed to be moved on Shabbos. But if you have some other type of thing, a utensil, or something which is designated for a mud scraper, so it's considered to be an official legal utensil, it's not mud, so you could take it and you could scrape off the mud. Or you could scrape it off on a beam. And there's a beam lying on the ground. You could scrape your foot off and put the mud on it. But you're not allowed to scrape it off. You're not allowed to clean off your foot or your shoe. Not in the wall. Not in the ground. And the reason is because when you clean your foot on the wall, we're talking here about a stone wall, and if you clean your foot on the wall, then it looks like you're adding to the wall. Since when you add mud to the wall, it looks a little like cement, looks like you're making the wall thicker, and therefore it's forbidden. And you're not allowed to clean it on the ground because we're worried you're going to come to smooth out holes that are in the ground while you're busy scraping off the mud onto the ground, dirt floors, you're worried you may come to see some holes and smooth out the holes while you're scraping. However, in a time of pressing need, there's excrement on your foot, and all over on your shoe. You have nothing which is permitted to be moved. You have no utensils available to clean off your foot or your shoes, yachal kanef b'kaisel, you're allowed to clean your foot against the wall. Mainly in kaisel, if there is no wall, you kanef b'kaisel, you clean it against the floor. And that's because there's a disagreement among the commentators as to which of these, if any of them, are really forbidden. It's a question of how to learn a piece in the Talmud. And the main opinion really is that they're both permissible. There are opinions that they're both forbidden, and the Kitzur really feels you should be strict and not clean it in either place, either on the wall or on the floor. But if you're stuck, so then the wall is less problematic. There are more opinions who permit you to clean your foot against the wall, and therefore that's the next best choice. And if you can't do that, then at least do it. At least clean it on the ground. And the Mishnah Berurah himself, he feels that there's no reason to be strict by the wall. You could, even if it's not a case of pressing need, it's not a shas of the chak, one could be lenient and clean his foot against the wall. It seems like that he feels preferable to be strict and not to clean your foot against the ground unless you're stuck, in which case even the Mishnah would agree that you could clean your foot on the ground if you don't have any other options. Continues the Kitzur. If you have water, even wash the shoe. Even with water, assuming that it's leather as opposed to a cloth shoe. Because by leather, just splashing water, pouring water on leather, and have a kibbutz, that's not considered laundering. When you rub one side of the leather against the other, the way laundry men do it, so that's considered laundering by leather garments. But otherwise, just pouring water on it is not considered laundering, and therefore your leather shoe, you can pour water until the mud goes away and falls off. Now, b'sakin, but with a knife, also legare datit v'atsayim min aminol shalar, you're not allowed to scrape mud or excrement from a leather shoe with a knife, and that's because when you scrape with the knife takes off a little bit of the leather, and it's the malach of memachik, which is smoothing. You're smoothing the leather by scraping the leather with a knife. But the piece of metal, iron, which is in front of the house, which is made to clean your boots or your shoes on it, if it's sharp, it's a little bit sharp, but you're not allowed to scrape your foot on it, because it's like a knife, and it's the problem of malach of memachik, of smoothing. But if it's not sharp at all, it's very rounded, then mutter is permissible because there's no problem with smoothing. It's not going to smooth or scrape against the leather. And therefore, that would really be the best place to do it. If it's not sharp, it's not the floor, it's not the wall, and that would be the optimal place to clean off your feet and your shoes. Sif my mouth. If a person's hands got dirty with mud, you shouldn't clean it off with the same towel or sheet or something, same cloth that you use to wash to dry your hands with. You're worried you're going to come to clean it, because if your regular hand towel that's all muddy, now you don't have a hand towel to use to dry your hands, what are you going to do? So it's very possible that you're going to go and you're going to wash it, which is Torah prohibition of cleansing, and therefore you should be used something else which you don't really need. Nowadays, certainly you could use a paper towel, or if you have some kind of cloth, a shmata, something which is designated for getting dirty. You don't mind if it gets dirty, then you could use that. We're not worried you're going to come to wash it. It's made to get dirty. As opposed to something like a hand towel, which is made to dry your hand, it's not made to get muddy. We're worried you're going to come to wash it. Sif Membes. Also, it's Baya Shum Dover. You're not allowed to dye, to color anything, any item. Now, feel a bit savage in this kind. Even with a dye, which is not going to last, it's temporary. It'll get washed off, or even by itself, it will fade. Still, it's forbidden. So, if you have some type of marker, and you write a non-permanent marker on some kind of very smooth surface where you know it's going to come off eventually, it's going to get rubbed off, it's not going to last, still it would be forbidden, you're coloring that surface. And therefore, also, a woman is not allowed to dye her face, means to put on makeup on her face, because that's something which is normally dyed, and it's forbidden. You're not allowed to dye on the purpose. Usually Zohar, and a person should be careful, because the other tzuos, mipeyesh achal, and a person's hands are colored from the fruits that he ate. He had some type of berry or something like that, which stained his hands. A person should be careful, he shouldn't touch his garment, and they should say by because he is coloring it. And he has to have this nice white, let's say, linen napkin, and he touches it, and now it's red. So that's going to be a problem. Rather, you should find something which is disposable, wipe it off, and then it's not considered coloring it because it's not something which is lasting, not a fabric that's made to last. You could wipe your hands on the napkin, on the paper towel, and throw it in the garbage, and that would not be a problem of, that would not be a problem of, say, there. So too, a person has a nosebleed, blood from his nose, or blood from a wound, he got a cut or something like that, he shouldn't wipe it with some type of cloth, because you're going to color the cloth, which again is a problem of Tevea. The Mishnah Berurah says that if you're stuck, you don't have any paper towels or any napkins, and all you have is a cloth, and you have nothing else to either cleanse your hands, or to, especially if you're bleeding, nothing to blot the blood with. So then, since it is derech lichloch, it's a way, it's, the intent is not to dye the cloth, the intent is to get rid of the blood. It's really getting the cloth dirty, you're going to wash it afterwards. So even though normally you should not do it, in case of pressing need like this, and then you could blot the blood with some type of cloth, and it's preferable if you have a choice between a red cloth and a non-red cloth, use a non-red cloth, because in the red cloth it's not as dirty, because the intent is supposed to be red, so you're complementing the color, and it's more of an issue of dyeing, as opposed to a non-red cloth, so you're not complementing the color, so it's just getting it dirty. And one more point, based upon this halacha, it's forbidden for a woman to put on makeup on Shabbos, even if there would be no problem, even if it's not something which is like lipstick, which you smear on, which is smears, which is a different problem of memachek, of smoothing. There's another issue of coloring. There are opinions, our paiskim, who market a Shabbos makeup, and one should discuss with their personal rav whether or not to rely on this leniency of using Shabbos makeup. Sifnem Gimel. Ein liten karchay. You might want to put saffron into a cooked food because that covers it, and your intent is to color the food, so therefore it's forbidden. However, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that there's no problem with coloring food, and you're allowed to put some type of one food in the saffron, let's say, into your food in order to color it. And you don't have to be so worried. For example, if you're starting to put ketchup in some food and they'll make it red, it wouldn't be an issue. However, there are those who are machmir. If your intent is solely to create color, it's not that you're mixing the food together and end up with a color. If your intent is solely to create color, then there's more room to be strict about this. Otherwise, Mr. Burr is lenient and allows you to put two foods together, even though one will color the other. But again, the kitzur is telling you that you should not color the food. You should be careful. Try not to color your food. Sif mem dalet. Also in the klaya, you're not allowed to braid or lishzar, which is to twine. Afilu shnei chutim, even only two threads, or cyrus, or tushos, or hairs, which are separated. That is the tolda, that's an offshoot of the malacha of weaving. And we mentioned before in previous sifim, previous segments, that's why you're not allowed to braid the hair of a shetel. Human hair is not allowed to be braided, as we discussed in previous segments, because it's an offshoot of the malacha of binyan. It's similar to building, but the wig or shetel may not be braided because of this issue that is considered weaving, and therefore may not be braided either.